Hey, y'all, it's Lark
and Kim
from Kudzu Killers, Homicide and Sweet Tea, and we're pleased to announce our brand new show, Two Chicks and a Crucifix.
We're going to have a good time yakking about paranormal phenomena like ghosts
and monsters and conspiracy theories
and Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
You know I'm partial to Bigfoot.
Right. Anyway, we hope you come listen to our new paranormal show and have some fun
in 2021. See, I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
Stop it.
You'll be the ghostest with the mostest.
Cut it out.
We love parapsychology and cryptozoology. Hey y'all, and welcome back to our first Forensic Friday for the new year. I hope you're having fun with your new year and everything's going great. It's going great for us here. How's it going for you, Lark?
Woohoo! So far, so good.
Good.
My flowers are actually blooming outside, so.
Wow.
I know.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we're expecting snow this Sunday, so we'll see
meaner,
how that
meaner.
Goes.
That's all I can say.
Yeah, I kind of like the snow, especially since we don't have to go anywhere.
Well, I love the snow too, but you know, neener.
Yeah, well.
So,
anyway,
what you got for us today?
Well, I've got a really disturbing and gruesome story that I'm sure some folks have heard of. And the reason that we're doing it today is the lady in question is on death row and scheduled for execution on Tuesday.
Oh, so it's very timely.
A little timely. Yeah. We'll discuss that later. Okay. Her feelings on death row and all of that kind of stuff, which, you know, we've done before, but we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Bobby Jo Stinnett is the victim, and she woke up on the morning of December 16th of 2004, really excited for the coming new year. She'd just turned 23 a week or so before, and Christmas was coming up, and she was 8 months pregnant with her and her husband's first child.
Aww.
And which would be, you know, born soon, and she was getting all excited and getting prepared for that. They'd married pretty young, but they were happy. Zeb worked outside the home, and Bobby Jo raised rat terriers to show and sell.
Oh, fun.
I love rat terriers.
Dogs.
Anyway, Bobby Jo was, like I said, excited about becoming a mother. So when she met another pregnant woman by the name of Darlene Fisher online, who was also 8 months pregnant, they met in a breeder chat room called Ratter Tatter.
Oh, I love it.
She figured she'd found someone she could talk to about everything that was going on, you know, physically and personally and all that. Mm-hmm. They exchanged emails and they emailed each other several times talking about this and that, their pregnancies and whatever. Mm-hmm. Then Fisher told Bobby Jo she was interested in buying one of her rat terriers. And Bobby Jo's like, cha-ching.
Yeah.
She not only made a new friend, but she'd made a sale too.
And it's almost Christmas.
And it's almost Christmas. So
yeah,
Bobby Jo set up to meet Fisher the afternoon of the 16th to discuss the sale and pick out a puppy. But things weren't as they seemed. And Bobby Jo didn't know it, but there wasn't anybody by the name of Darlene Fisher.
Uh-oh.
This new friend, quotation marks, was in reality a 36-year-old woman by the name of Lisa Montgomery. And Lisa had a secret. She wasn't pregnant.
What?
She already had kids, and she'd had her tubes tied years before.
What?
But she'd been pretending to friends and family that she was pregnant again. Evidently, she did it often and would claim a miscarriage or something like that. But this time, she'd gone too far, and now she was pinned in a corner because she had to come up with a baby pretty soon or the jig was up.
Apparently. Oh, my gosh.
She'd let that fake pregnancy go too long this time, and everyone would know she'd lied and been lying and that there was no baby or even the possibility of one.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because I guess a lot of people didn't know she'd had her tubes tied.
Apparently.
Yeah. Or they're stupid, one, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, she made up this name of Darlene Fisher. She'd found Bobby Jo in the Rat Terrier chat, whether by design or by accident. And then her plan was made. She'd pretend she wanted to buy a dog to get in the house and get that baby.
Wow.
She researched online all kinds of information about C-sections and prepared herself to cut out the baby once the mother was disposed of, take it home, and pretend to everybody it was hers.
Oh, my goodness.
So on December 16th of 2004, she arrived at Bobby Joe's home in Skidmore, Missouri. Bobby Joe invited her inside, and then when she turned to show her the back room where the kennels were set up, Montgomery brought out a length of pink nylon rope and wrapped it around Bobby Joe's neck and began to strangle her.
Oh, no.
But Bobby Joe wasn't dead. The evidence presented in Montgomery's trial later showed that the young mother-to-be had been conscious during the attack because there were defensive wounds found all over her hands and arms. Darlene had used a kitchen knife to hack Bobby Joe's stomach open, slice into her womb, and pull that baby out.
Oh, my God.
And then she cut the umbilical cord and ran, leaving Bobby Joe to bleed to death there on the floor of that back bedroom.
Oh, my.
Montgomery ran all the way back to her home in Milvern, Kansas, where she proceeded to pretend to friends and family that she'd had a baby and was home from the hospital.
So she got the baby cut out while all that kicking and screaming was going on and it was still alive?
Well, I guess she killed her. Or finally got her unconscious enough that she could just cut her open without her fighting much at that point. I don't know.
I'd be afraid I'd kill the baby too. Well, I mean, it's...
Well, this has happened before, and most of the time the baby doesn't survive. So she did her research. She knew, I guess, how deep to cut. I mean, she'd had kids of her own, so maybe she knew how deep to cut.
Still, I guess that's one saving grace, but carry on, please.
Yeah. So she pretended to friends and family that she'd had the baby and was home from the hospital.
Oh, God.
She told her husband, she called him and told him she'd gone into labor while she was in Topeka and could he meet her there at a restaurant. He was completely snowed. He took his two older daughters who were, you know, high school age with him so one could drive Montgomery's car back while he took her and the baby home. The next day, she and her husband went to the local diner to show off the baby, this newborn baby, put a pink bonnet on her, showed her to everybody in town.
Wow. How dumb was he? I hate to ask that, but I mean, come on. Every man that's had a pregnant woman around him knows that they...
Well, they should know what it looks like.
Well, there's other things that happen too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I know.
I've never been pregnant, but hey.
I never have either, so, you know.
Well,
but I have limited knowledge on that.
that the very least, there's a lot of farting that goes on. So anyway,
let's, on that note.
Well, there's just physical things that he should have noticed, especially if they had children before. But anyway, carry on, please.
Well, I don't know that they had. Now, he was like her second or third husband.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that they had had any kids together, and I'm pretty sure he didn't know she had a tubal ligation.
Okay. So I'll give him a little bit of slack.
I'll cut him a little bit of slack. Maybe she just smacked his hands away when he wanted to do something and told him, no, the baby, or something like that. I mean, he had two kids. He should know better, but, himself, he had with an ex, I guess. But
so meanwhile, anyway, we're back at the diner, and she has on a pink bonnet. Go.
Well, in the meantime, Bobby Joe's mother, Becky Harper, had arrived at the Stinnett home. Her daughter hadn't picked her up from work like she was supposed to, and Becky was concerned. She'd been talking to her on the phone, asking her to pick her up from work when Bobby Joe had told her somebody was coming by to look at the puppies. And then she said something like, oh, she's here. I got to go. And hung up. When Becky got into the house, she searched for Bobby Joe. And that's when she found her in the back bedroom, drenched in her own blood.
Aww.
She called 911. I tried to find the tape, but I couldn't locate it anywhere online. But she told the operator, she is laying on the floor with blood everywhere. She was pregnant. It's like her guts have exploded or something.
Well,
because I guess she just hacked her to pieces to get to the womb.
Yeah.
When it was apparent the baby had been removed and kidnapped, the FBI got involved. The local police tried to issue an Amber Alert, but with no description of the baby or who took her, they were turned down. they wouldn't issue the Amber Alert.
But wait, what, didn't she cross state line though?
That's why the FBI's involved.
Well, that's what
I mean, they don't know that at this point, but the right. FBI got involved because it was a kidnap. There was a baby missing.
Right, but they didn't. Okay, go.
But the Amber Alert didn't have a protocol for something like this. They'd never come up against this where nobody had seen the baby. So they didn't know what it looked like. They didn't have any identifying marks or who took it.
Right, you know? True.
Fortunately, U.S. Congressman Sam Graves got involved. Somebody gave him a call, and he went and made sure the Amber Alert got issued. The baby's father and Bobby Joe's husband for 2 years, Zeb, was contacted, and he was, of course, devastated, as you'd expect, mm-hmm. and he rushed home to be with his family. But it wasn't long before they discovered the emails, the detectives and the FBI discovered the emails from Darlene that she was supposed to meet up with Bobby Joe to buy a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't find anything about Darlene Fisher, though. Nobody knew who Darlene Fisher was or where she was from.
Because she's nobody.
The messages, the emails were from Fisher4Kids, @hotmail.com, which was the email that Montgomery had used with her made-up name.
Mm-hmm.
And they were tracked to Kevin Montgomery, her husband's dial-up internet connection in Melbourne. That was the home of 36-year-old Lisa Montgomery. And when they arrived at her home on December 17th, so it only took them a day to work this all out, which is amazing to me.
That's pretty awesome, really. Good for them.
Yeah. She was sitting on a sofa in the living room, and that Amber Alert was playing on the TV.
Wow.
Ironic, huh?
I love it.
So the baby was returned to its daddy, Zeb, after DNA showed that she didn't belong to Montgomery, but was his newborn baby girl,
aww.
Who he named Victoria Joe.
Aww.
Police and FBI took Montgomery to a nearby undercover narcotics office to begin their interrogation. Right off the bat, Lieutenant Don Fritz from the Cameron Police Department. Now, Cameron is a town like Kansas City that's kind of split between two states, part Missouri and part Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe they were the closest police department to call when they located where this baby was. But anyway, he got her in there and he says, I slid my chair right up almost against her chair. Our knees were almost touching and I reached out. She put her hand in my hand. I put my other hand on top of hers and I said, we need to get this lined out. We need to get to the bottom of this. To which she replied, it's terrible. I can't talk about it. He told her they already know what happened, and she said, well, you've got Bobby Joe's baby. That was it.
Wow.
So they took her to jail, and she was tried and convicted on October 22nd, 2007, so almost 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 26th, the jury recommended the death penalty, and the judge, Gary Finner, agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Montgomery's being held here in Fort Worth. At Carswell Federal Medical Facility.
Oh, why?
Don't know why she's here, and I don't know why. I mean, she's a federal, it was a federal offense, so she was tried in federal court.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why she's in a hospital, a medical facility here, other than they say she's crazy.
It seemed like they would have sent her to Terrell, which is not in Fort Worth, by the way, if they were going to send her to Texas, but who knows?
Yeah. Now, the whole reason I wanted to do this story, like I said at the beginning, is because Lisa Montgomery is set to be executed on January 12th. That's next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The execution is set to take place by lethal injection at the federal penitentiary at Terre Haute, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
If the execution does happen and they're trying their best to stop it, she would be the first woman executed by the federal government since 1953.
Oh, wow. So kind of some history there.
Yeah. And that was a gas chamber execution. And I'm going to talk about that in another Forensic Friday. So
mm-hmm.
we'll get to that story too. But it was about the murder of a 6-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm. I just was going to say, I hope that it's time for her to get what's coming to her. Why wait?
Of course, she has her defenders. They want her sentence commuted. The defense has since claimed that not enough was told about her mental issues and past claims of pregnancy, which is known, by the way, in psychology term as pseudocyesis, which in Greek means false pregnancy.
And ironically enough, you know, puppies, female dogs have that.
Well, a lot of people have it and it's really physically a thing, but this is a mental issue.
Right, right.
Right. Where she, it's where she convinces herself that she's really pregnant and she's not. I don't think that's the case with this gal. Mm-hmm. She'd done it several times and claimed miscarriage. And she planned this out. She planned this out.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't like she, you know.
Right. Just stole the baby all of a sudden.
Yeah, stole a baby at the supermarket or something out of desperation.
Because, you know, or thought that that child was there. That, you know.
I mean, she could have done that without murdering anybody, but she chose to murder somebody because she wanted it to be just right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so that's, yeah, I have a problem with that. Yeah. They also claimed that she was raped repeatedly at 13 by her stepfather and that she suffered from PTSD because the home was so bad. And I don't doubt that it was, but I'm sorry. A lot of people have rotten childhoods and it doesn't make them liars and thieves, and it certainly doesn't make them premeditated murderers.
Exactly.
And this was premeditated. Like I said, she thought this all up. She made a fake persona so that she could get in somebody's house and murder them and take their baby.
Oh, yeah. It was a long-range strategy there.
I mean, maybe she was crazy to do that, but she knew exactly what she was doing. She planned it.
Right.
So I got little sympathy for her, like you said.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe for her lousy childhood, but not enough to give her a pass on the thing she did.
Yeah, yeah. She still knew what was right from wrong, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. Of course, making her stay in a regular women's prison for the remainder of her life, and I think she's in her 50s now, would be a while before she died, which might be justice after all, but not in a medical facility. She needs to be in a real prison with other murderers, in my opinion.
Right, because who's to say that something is wrong with her? Was she actually officially diagnosed?
I didn't find anything out about that. I'm pretty sure they probably have some psychologists on her side.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they've got the folks who always come out on the side of women being executed or men being executed and don't want it to happen. But, and I guess, I mean, there have been other women executed. It's just not in a federal prison, not a federal convict. It's been state convicts like Eileen Wuornos and those folks. They've been executed. So there have been executions of women since 1953, just not federal ones.
Well, she knew she was crossing the border too.
She knew what she was doing. She planned it.
Every move.
She planned it. She met the girl. She gave her a fake name. She knew what she was doing.
It's just so cold-blooded. That's really, really cold to befriend this girl and, you know, puppies and babies and all of it is just so...
Mm-hmm.
It's just evil. And to what end? Was she looking for... What was she looking for? Was she looking for sympathy?
She was about to get... attention is why she did the pregnancies, I'm sure. Because that's, you know, that's what most of them do it for. Because people are like, oh, how exciting. But this murder she did because she screwed up and she needed to try to cover it up.
Well, I'm glad that she got caught, but I have a question.
Okay.
Think about what if she didn't get caught? What if she hadn't got caught and she hung on to that baby? Do you think she really wanted to raise a child when would it get tiresome? When would it get, you know, troublesome?
I don't think any of us can answer that but her. And she might have been a good mother. I don't know. You know, I didn't find anything else about her as far as that goes. But yeah, that's a good question. And I don't know. I don't think anybody but her has an answer to that.
But you see where I'm getting at? Even though she didn't, she lucked out by not killing the child at the same time that
she
killed the mama. But, you know, who's to say she wouldn't have got tired of it a little bit down the road and had a little bit more sympathy?
The thing is, Victoria Jo, who's now, she's 16 now.
Aww.
But every birthday,
she
and her family are reminded of the murder of her mother and the circumstances of her birth. So it's no walk in the park for her.
Right.
She never knew her mother.
Yeah.
You know, and every time she has birthday roll around, that's the day her mama was murdered by this crazy woman. So,
you know, it's crazy and I don't know if it's possible, but I think I would almost, for my sanity, try to change my birthday. I don't know if you can even do that, you know?
You know, I don't know if you can.
People
either
do that when they want to
change it to the month when you're the date that you were due. Maybe.
Yeah,
change it to the date you were due.
Well, I mean, just like they speculate with adoption, sometimes they don't really know. So they pick a date, I guess. But anyway,
that's true.
My mind is just wandering to other what ifs. But what's for certain is she for certain going to be executed?
Well, you have to wait till the midnight hour. I mean, you know, they're gonna, I'm sure, try to stop it before it happens. She's been denied appeals and things like that. So we'll see. I guess we'll find out on Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another little interesting tidbit about Skidmore, Missouri, where Bobby Joe and her husband Zeb lived. It's a tiny town. Mm-hmm. And I mean teeny tiny, because there's only got 300 people there.
Oh my, that's just not even a town, really.
Now, do you remember a story a long time ago? We might have been in college I guess we were probably in college. About a town bully that the town might have gotten together and got rid of him in 1981.
Gosh.
He was mean. He was mean to everybody. He was evil. He tortured the whole town and people in it.
It was a movie?
As in they murdered him. Yeah, his name was Ken Rex McElroy, and he was a real guy. Hmm. There was a movie about it, but he was shot, apparently, from several different directions by several different guns at the same time.
Well,
I think Brian Dennehy was in the movie, and it was called In Broad Daylight. Well, that murder's still unsolved, and it took place in Skidmore.
Oh, my.
That was the town it happened in. Nobody's ever been arrested. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody will say a word to this day.
Wow. Well, apparently they take care of their own, huh?
Evidently.
Good for them. Just saying. I'm kind of okay with that. Oh, gosh. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but there it is, y'all.
But anyway, I just remembered that story from way back then. I remembered there was a town where the bully was so evil that the town got together. I mean, that was the story in the movie. I don't know that that's really true, but it's kind of curious.
Right.
And he's shot from several different directions by several different guns. I mean,
Yeah. What's the chances that this little spit in the road is on the news more than once?
Yeah.
Well.
But anyway, that was my story.
So it will know by midnight on Tuesday?
I think.
Okay. So if we know by midnight, then maybe you can do a little update tag on to our next Tuesday story.
Yeah, I might be able to do that. We will have to see.
We'll see. Yeah. Because, you know.
Because I usually have them up before that time. But
well, like, but she'd have possibly fried by the time that you've finished editing.
Lethal injection.
Oh, sorry. Kim is so nice.
Well, you know how I feel about the death penalty. It's just...
Yes, I know. We all know.
We all know, yes. You've all heard me go on about that. So.
Well, I'm
death penalty girl.
Well, I mean, if they didn't pass go, you know, went in the express lane, it'd be a lot better, in my opinion. But of course, but I do agree on the fiscal side, what you're saying. So I do agree. Kim always has a whole lot more facets to her decisions. Sometimes I'm just like, hang them. When I really shouldn't. I shouldn't say that. But yeah, we'll all be watching and waiting. Be interesting. Yeah. It really will be. Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks for bringing us that today.
And don't forget, on the 18th is the first episode of our new paranormal podcast called Two Chicks and a Crucifix.
Mm-hmm. And Two Chicks and a Crucifix. And I don't know about you, but I just heard the music and it's made me laugh. So I hope it makes y'all laugh and we have as much fun together with us as we do with each other, right, Kim?
Yeah.
So thanks again. Y'all remember, don't bury the bodies without us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.